Just going back over the course of this past week, there has been a little bit of a sea change in the way in which people are viewing prospects in the United States. And until now, it's been a case of the U.S. economy is doing pretty well. There's the prospect with inflation working its way down that the Fed can start to cut rates, but it'll still be a soft landing coming through for the U.S. Well, that changed a bit through the course of this week. Some of the numbers out of the U.S. were on the softer side. They're still not pointing to a recession in the U.S., but a lot of people are starting to build that in and thinking, oh, maybe there is a recession coming. And if that's the case, then the Fed's behind the curve in cutting rates and is adding to the prospects of weak economic growth because they're not going to be easing until they get through to September. And we've got the Fed funds rate at 5.5% or between 5.25 and 5.5. That's way too high for an economy which is starting to show some signs of struggling. So that really took a bit of a wrecking ball into risk assets in the first part of this month, where the prospects of a soft landing have suddenly become a little bit problematic. Now, the data that caused some of that going through, we had things, for example, the ISM manufacturing index, and that one came down to 46.8 from 48.5. That's getting into the sort of territory which is sort of heralding recession in that particular sector. So that was softer than expected. During the course of the week, we had things like initial jobless claims, which jumped to 249,000 from 235,000. And on top of that, right at the end of the week, we had the labour force data out of the US, or their non-farm payrolls. These were much weaker than expected. They came in at 114,000, and the previous month was revised down to 179,000 from 206,000. Also, softer hourly earnings in that, average hourly earnings, were up only 0.2% month on month. That brought the annual rate of change on that back to 3.6 from 3.8. And very importantly, the unemployment rate jumped from 4.1% to 4.3%. So all of that just looking a fair bit softer. And of course, during the week, we had the Fed meeting. And at that meeting, they left rates unchanged. And Jerome Powell said, well, we are getting to a stage now where we are thinking about a rate cut in September. The problem is with the data that's come through, that looks as if they're starting the whole process a bit too late. And the risk of a harder landing in the U.S. Starts to build. The other area where, of course, this really challenges is that you've had some pretty high-flying stocks in the U.S., largely in the tech sector, largely revolving around artificial intelligence, and on some pretty fancy notions of what economic benefits you can get out of that. That's fine if the economy is going well. You can get away with that sort of speculation. But when it shows some signs of turning to a much weaker economy such as this, and where the Fed appears to be behind the curve, then all of a sudden those economic benefits start to tarnish and you think, well, has this been overhyped? And so you get to this point where we are at a pretty tricky point where we've got a fair bit of weakness starting to develop just into risk assets. I don't think it'll go too far because I still think there's some reasonable numbers to come for the US as we go a bit further ahead. These numbers don't actually point to recession. For example, the non-farm payrolls. In the past, when you're in recession in the US, you have a negative sign on the front of non-farm payrolls on a monthly basis. We haven't got that yet. But they are starting to worry. We won't get a lot of help from data this week out the US because we had the July... we've got July ISM non-manufacturing PMI. That comes out tonight. That one was down at 48.8 last month, so it was a bit in contraction territory. There's a hope that'll rebound to 51. But if it doesn't, and it stays down in the 40s, that may reinforce this pretty negative sentiment surrounding U.S. economic prospects. And then we really have minor things like consumer credit and initial jobless claims. That's not minor. You know, we'll be looking at initial jobless claims on Thursday to see where they come out. And if they hold above 240,000, that's another one of those signs that you've got some weakness just starting to develop as far as the labour market is concerned. Moving to China last week, and yeah, the data reports there, they were all PMIs. So you had the official PMIs for both the manufacturing sector and the non-manufacturing sector, and we had the cakes in manufacturing PMI. The official PMIs, the manufacturing PMI, was a touch on the soft side, 49.4 from 49.5 the month before, and the non-manufacturing PMI came down to 50.2 from 50.5. The July cakes in manufacturing PMI was particularly soft. That came down to 49.8 from 51.8 the month before. So you know, China appears to have a softer edge in some of these leading indicators. Today we'll get the cakes in services PMI. That was at 51.2, but probably it's going to be softer. And later in the week we'll get July readings of exports and imports. There's slight hope that exports and imports might be a bit firmer than they were going back the previous month. So July exports expected to lift perhaps to 10.4 from 8.6% year-on-year. Imports expected to lift a little bit to 3.3 from minus 2.3 the month before, but it's pretty important they do, because if they don't, you know, there's not much else in China which is going to be helping to lift economic activity. And on Friday, we'll get the CPI and producer price index out of China. And CPI may lift a little to 0.4% year-on-year from 0.2, but that's still pretty soft. And the producer price index, that looks as if it might actually deteriorate a bit to minus 0.9% year-on-year from minus 0.8. So still pretty weak economic conditions as far as China's concerned. Then we moved to Australia, and the key numbers last week were really the inflation readings, but we also had a lot of other data too. And for example, we had June home building approvals. They fell after a couple of good months, so they were down by 5.5% after lifting 5.7% the month before. We had June retail sales. Now, these were a bit better than expected. You know, they lifted 0.5% after lifting 0.6% the month before. So even ahead of the tax cuts, there's some signs that things are lifting a little bit in Australia. But still, when you added a deflator to that, Q2 retail sales were still negative. They were negative 0.4% quarter on quarter going back to Q1. That came in at negative 0.3 for the most recent month. We also had things like housing finance commitments for the month of June. And these rebounded, so we still got a fair bit of pressure running through the housing side. Still a fair bit of demand out there, this is after a couple of months where we'd had a bit of a pullback running through loans, but we lifted 0.5% in the value of home loans in the month of June, and it was particularly strong for investor loans, which are up over 2%. So there's still a fair bit of froth running through the housing market. But the CPI helped to just moderate people's fears a bit about the Reserve Bank potentially lifting rates at the meeting this week. We had the CPI itself, which came in as expected, 1%, and that meant that we had a lift in the annual inflation rate to 3.8 from 3.6, but it didn't lift to 4-ish percent, which was what some people were fearing. The underlying inflation rates were actually a bit better than expected, and that helped. So we had Q2 trim mean and weighted median. The trim mean was expected to be 1%, as was the weighted median, 1% quarter on quarter. They both came in at 0.8. So as a result of that, trim mean annual inflation came back to 3.9 from 4%, and the weighted median came back to 4.1 from 4.4. So, that just hints that, inflation is at least not getting worse. It's going sideways at these levels. And we had the June CPI came out. the monthly one, and that came down from 4% year-on-year to 3.8. So, you know, we're flushing around the high threes to just a four now with the inflation rate, and there was some fear that we might have been a little bit higher than that. If we had have been, then obviously that would have still put a lot of pressure on the Reserve Bank to hike rates. This is probably enough to make sure that the Reserve Bank doesn't hike rates and that it will keep the cash rate unchanged. And certainly that's the way the market was looking at it, because together with what was happening in the US, it allowed things like bond yields to rally quite a bit through the course of last week. Some of the other price data that came through, export prices, they fell by 5.9% in Q2 after falling 2.1% the quarter before. We had import prices, which actually lifted by 1%. That was unexpectedly high after being down 1.8% the quarter before. And second quarter producer prices, this is where we're still different from people overseas. They lifted by 1%, and that lifted the annual rate of change to 4.8% year-on-year from 4.3. So there's still a bit of pipeline PPI pressure that's still running through potentially to the CPI down the track. Now, moving into this week, and we've got the RBA interest rate meeting. I'm pretty sure they're going to leave it at 4.35%. And providing, you know, we can get some further improvement running through the CPI and in the months ahead, you know, we may be able to hold at 4.35% now for quite some time. Now, that'll be against people overseas are starting to lower interest rates, but we're not in that position. We're still in a very different position to what's happening in many places overseas. They'll also bring out the August monetary policy statement tomorrow, and the paradox there is they may still have to lift one or two of their inflation forecasts. And so... that's where things are still tricky as far as the RBA is concerned. At this stage, they have inflation coming down below 3% as we go into the middle and late part of next year. That's still a pretty tall order given the way that inflation is tracking at the moment. So just watching those forecasts as well. Now moving to Europe, and last week, Europe's moving slightly in a different position to what we see for the United States and China. And there's a little bit of improvement coming through as far as Europe's concerned. We had their July Consumer Business Confidence Survey. That effectively went sideways and was better than expected, 95.8 from 95.9, going back the month before. Second quarter GDP lifted a little bit more than expected. They were expecting a 0.2% increase. They got a 0.3. And as a result of that, the annual rate of GDP, real GDP growth, lifted from 0.4 to 0.6. Now, remembering that 6 months ago, Europe was right on the edge of recession. It's just slowly creeping its way out. Also, their CPI and inflation rate, they came in just a touch higher than expected. So there's a little bit of pressure running through there. And the July CPI lifted to 2.6% year-on-year from 2.5, going back the month before. Their core CPI was steady at 2.9%. And the June unemployment rate, that just edged up slightly to 6.5 from 6.4. So maybe just a little bit of pressure coming out of the labor market there. But Europe, a little bit better, it has been tourism, it's been the Olympics, it's been things like this that have been adding to US economic growth. Over the channel in the UK, the Bank of England, they met and they delivered their first interest rate cut, 25 basis points, which takes the base rate down to 5% from 5.25%. Yeah, we get the votes. It was a very narrow vote in favour of a rate cut. And still there was a warning from Andrew Bailey, the Bank of England governor, and saying that, you know, sort of a little bit of moderation in inflation, but it's still going to be a tricky path ahead. You know, it's true for just about everybody, I think, these days. Just what's coming in Europe this week, we haven't got a lot. We've got things like Centix investor confidence coming out, producer prices and retail sales. So, you know, nothing dramatic in terms of the data that's coming out from Europe through the course of this week. We are watching politics a bit everywhere at the moment, some of the issues which are, you know, obviously are any intensification of the problems in the Middle East. Obviously over the course of the past week, we've seen a worsening situation with Lebanon and Iran and Israel, and you know, that's obviously becoming problematic and is a potentially something that could disrupt trade flows again, particularly for energy and oil. So that's one thing we're watching. And you know, we're watching the rise of the right everywhere. And you know, over the past week, that was reflected in riots in UK cities. So you know, some issues watching just on that front. But all told, a little bit of a sea change last week, just the prospects for the US economy not looking quite as good as they did. And they're not recession yet, but you know, the market automatically goes, oh, there's a recession coming, and starts to react accordingly. It may not be disabused of that for a little while. It will be at some point, but not just yet. And so that could give us some quite substantial resetting of pricing in risk asset markets.